From the Shepherd House International in Georgetown, Guyana, Bishop Victor Connors de Sabre, anointed by God, will inspire you with rare and down-to-earth but provoking teachings from the Word of God, to love the Lord deeply and to devote yourself to His work. Discover how God can change your life and ministry forever. Now, here is Bishop Collins.
Father, tonight, thank you for bringing us together again. We bless you, we honor you, we glorify you. You are the only God. Bible says there is only one God and one mediator between that God and man. The name is the man Christ Jesus. We're gathered here to hear from you and to be affected by your spirit. I pray that, Lord, you will stir the anointing upon my life. Let it affect, let it touch, let it respond, and let it fix things tonight. Let none of us who are here leave the same as we came. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Give the Lord a big hand clap. You want to welcome one or two people, and you may be seated after that. Oh, one or two people, welcome one or two people. Some people, you see, when you come to church, you should listen to what the pastor tells you. Hey. And your pastor says, go around and welcome one or two people. Go and welcome somebody. Go shake somebody's hand, tell them you're welcome. It's good to see you. So what's your name? Something like, you know, welcome people, shake their hands. Let them feel welcome. Yeah, why not? Why not? Why not? This year your life will not be devoid of good things. So we're saying this is the book that we're reading and we're praying from it. Doug Heward Mills is the author, very anointed, very wonderful man of God. The title of the book is The Anointed and His Anointing. The whole thing is this, that God Almighty is a God who anoints people. He chooses people and then he gives them his power or his presence. There are some people who walk with the presence of God and there are many people who don't walk with the presence of God. And you can see from what these people achieve from what some people don't achieve to know the difference. Are you with me? Yeah. I was saying at midday when we were praying that there are many names in the Bible. In fact, the Bible mentioned about 3,300 and something names. The names that are in the Bible, like this name, that name, Ruth, Naomi, Orpah, this, that, Jonah, Noah, 3,300 and something names. How many of them do you know? When I say Noah, you know Noah. When I say Jonah, whether a fish swallowed Jonah or Jonah swallowed the fish, you know about Jonah. But there are some names that many of us don't know. Because those names, those people did not do anything significant for their names to have like a major couple of verses to couple of chapters in the Bible. When I talk about David, everybody knows David. When we talk about Saul, King Saul, everybody knows about King Saul. When we talk about Samuel the prophet, everybody knows about Samuel the prophet. But sometimes people don't even know Samuel's mother's name. The woman who brought, if you look at Samuel and you look at his mother, even his father, let's take Samuel's father. What is Samuel's father's name? Many people don't know the name of Samuel's father. But you see, how come somebody gives birth to somebody and then the child now becomes so famous worldwide and the father is not known? Samson, we know Samson. We don't know Samson's mother's name. We don't know Samson's father's name. So what I am trying to say is that God Almighty is the one who makes people known. God is the one who makes people rich. God is the one who protects people. The things that we are able to do here on earth, they all come from God. And what God does is that God is in heaven, but he releases a part of him, the presence of God. He releases it to some people. And then those people who don't have the presence of God, what you need to do is to attach yourself to somebody who God has anointed. So what we are studying in this book is people who are anointed and how to really deal with them. That's a how to. Because depending on how you relate with the anointed, you can easily be anointed or you can be cursed. And I can give you an example. If you look at Elisha, Elisha encountered two guys, Gehazi and Naaman the Syrian. Naaman the Syrian, the Bible says, was a commander of the Syrian army. He came to look for healing and a miracle from Elisha the prophet. And the Bible says that when he came to Elisha, he left with a miracle. His servant, Elisha's servant, who's called Gehazi, who has been with Elisha for a few years, he, by the time Elisha said he should go out of his presence, he left with a disease. So depending on how you deal with the Lord's anointed, and ladies and gentlemen, you have to be very careful when you see a pastor. And that is what I'm going to go into it a little bit tonight about do not miss subtle and casual anointings. You can see somebody who is running a church, somebody who is the leader of a church, and may not know who you are dealing with. You see, because when it comes to the things of God, you can easily not notice or identify who you are dealing with. Remember when Jesus was born in a manger? How many people went to see him? It's not three. They taught us wrong things. It's not three. The Bible said wise men. If you look at there is a wise man from the east. There's no number. The Sunday school teachers have spoiled us. Because Sunday school teachers taught us that because they presented frankincense, gold, and myrrh, it means there were three people. They were not three. I said there were not three. It's not three at all. The Bible says wise men from the east, not three wise men. The three wise men is what they have taught us. And we have been taught so many things. Like, for example, in Guyana, they have taught us that if you don't get baptized, you are not saved. There's nothing like that in the Bible. So when you say, let us go and baptize you, they say, I'm not ready. Going to be put in the water, some black water, you are not ready? And you bath every day. So, what we want you to know as a church, and this understanding must sink into the youngest person in the church, that there are people who are anointed. There are people who possess a certain power that God has given to them. There are people who carry the presence of God with them when they move. If you happen to see somebody like that, you have to be very careful how you deal with them. But the tricky thing is that you can encounter somebody and may not even know. Let me tell you a story. I have some young girls, a while ago, I had some young girls in our church in Georgetown who were carrying evil spirits. Are you there?
Yeah.
And one of them told me a story that, I mean, I wasn't surprised, but I was just crying for people. The girl said that she has the spirit of the sea mermaid. You know the sea mermaid? The half human, half fish. It's a real thing. It's not a fairy tale. It's not a fairy tale at all. It's a real, real, real thing. She said she has that spirit. And what they do is that girls with that spirit, they seduce men. They allow men to sleep with them. And then in sleeping with that such an individual, such a girl, they give you demons. I pray for you. You've not slept with somebody who has given you demons here tonight. It's vice versa for also some guys who are walking around this country and this area as if they like you and they want to have sex with you and sleep with you. They are carrying devils. So this young lady told me something. She said one day she was working for this woman. So she used to go into the sea. She used to go under the sea in the night. That's where they do their planning, their meeting, and then everything. He said, one day she got a guy. And of course, her mission was to tie the guy down under the sea. It means that the guy now becomes like a gigolo. You know a gigolo? Mm-hmm. He also carries a demon and walks around and sleeps with girls and all kinds of things. All kinds of crazy things happen. She said when she had sex with a guy, the guy was wearing condoms. Are you listening?
Yes.
Oh, are you here?
Yes.
I said, we come to church to learn.
Yes.
if you understand it, you come to church all the time.
Yes.
He said, after they had sex and the guy ejaculated, he ejaculated into the condom. Of course. She was lucky it didn't burst. So she told me that the trick to tie the guy down was something else, right? So now they've had a sex, but she has to actually take something from the guy that is a significant part of him, like his life. So she said to the guy, oh, of course, when you ejaculate or when you break, we call it break, no? Uh-huh. So when you break, because when I say ejaculate, you don't understand. When he broke. Or when he break. I don't know which past tense or present tense or past participle. But when a guy broke. Or when he break. Then of course, the male organ gets softer. Isn't it? All of you know this because you do these things. So then the condom, you know. So the girl told the guy, wow, I've never seen sperms before. Can I take a look? So she took the condom off the male organ and then she said, oh, wow, it looks like milk.
My God.
My God. So then she said, oh, okay, just now, I come in just now. In that spare moment, she took the condom with her into the washroom. And lo and behold, she drank the contents of the condom. No, don't go home yet. Don't go home yet. We've not finished. You know why? You know sperms have life? Isn't it? So she needed something with life from the guy to be able to connect and tie the guy down under the sea. One day, I was talking to some wives, Guyanese wives with some African wives inside. And I was talking about deep things, deep bedroom things. And I asked all of them, how many of you ladies have handled things in your buccal cavity before? I asked the ladies, how many of you have ever handled banana in your mouth before? I'm coming down. If I come down too much, you'll be bad. So let me just. Then all the Guyanese women, their hands went up. And the African women were saying, Then I received instruction that handling banana in your mouth in Guyana is a common thing. Unlike the Africans of a certain generation. So I'm saying you may have allowed something into somebody's mouth ever sometime in your life. I pray for you. Yeah, no, you may be laughing and all of that, but I'm talking about serious things. We come to church. You see, you are a young man who has come to this church tonight for the first time. You didn't know that you came here for me, for God to tell you something that happened to you 3 years ago that is actually causing you to not do well in life. I'm saying, when you meet an anointed person, you should be careful. So, a man of God or a servant of God who is anointed is somebody who carries things, supernatural things, that is the key to your problems. Like, as you've come to this church, you should be very careful with me here. If you are meeting me for the first time today, you have to come again. I said you have to come again. Because God brought you here for a reason. If you stay around, you understand why you came here. If you don't come back again, you are walking away from a certain miracle. I can tell you so many stories. Supernatural things. But when you meet such a man of God, you see, the Bible says in Matthew chapter 11, verse 7, as they departed, Jesus began to say unto them, unto the multitudes concerning John. Or we will say John. Concerning John. J-A-H-N. Or J-A-N. John. And he says, what went you out into the wilderness to see? Can you give me a new living translation? We speak your release, you know, these things can. I finished preaching, crap.
No.
Isn't next week if you don't come, you won't get a chair to sit on. You don't come early. And John's disciples were leaving, Jesus began talking about him to the crowds. What kind of man did you go into the wilderness to see? Was he a weak reed? Swayed by every breath of wind? Or were you expecting to see a man dressed in expensive clothes? No. People with expensive clothes live in palaces. They don't live in the desert. Were you looking for a prophet? Yes. And he is more than a prophet. John is the man to whom the scripture refers when they say, look, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, and he will prepare your way before you. I tell you the truth, of all who have ever lived, none is greater than John the Baptist. Yet even the least person in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he is. So here Jesus brings John the Baptist as a topic for discussion. He was trying to tell the people about who John is. But you see, The anointing is normally not spectacular. I mean, if you see an anointed person, you can easily insult the person. You can easily disregard somebody who God has anointed with oil. So Jesus was trying to teach them a lesson. He says, you know what? This man, John the Baptist, who is walking here in the desert with a staff, with camel skin and all of that. The Bible says John's meal, John's food was locust and wild honey. John wasn't eating rice. John wasn't eating chow mein. John wasn't eating metemje and mitai and bam and chip. That wasn't John's meal. John used to eat locust. Now, if you are a great man of God, why are you eating insects? So, if you look at the food he's eating and then the type of person he is, you can easily be confused. You can easily say, you know what, get out of there. Get out of here. But Jesus said, he is a prophet. And he is one, anybody who has ever lived on this earth, he said, he is the greatest. It means that anointing can be subtle or casual. Subtle means something that is very deceiving. It's very quiet. Very quiet. Have you not seen, unassuming, have you not seen two sisters? One is very happy-go-lucky and talking and shouting and all that. And one is very quiet. And the one who is quiet rather comes with a big stomach. And the one who is more didn't come with a big stomach. Quiet people are dangerous. Quiet people are like snake under grass. The most powerful people don't make noise, you know. If there's a snake in this church here, you, the only mistake, the only time you see the snake is when it makes a mistake to come out during service. That will be the end of his life. And there are snakes living in people's yards and people's compounds that people don't know about. And when a snake bites you, you can actually leave this world. So the Bible says Jesus actually told his disciples that be wise as a serpent. It means that even though you are powerful, be quiet. Many rich people, you cannot identify them. If we come to your workplace and we say, who is the boss man? You can easily not notice the boss man. He walks around very quietly, very unassuming, casual. Doesn't dress up, some three-quarter pants, and then some boots, and a white sandals, and a white shirt. You're walking around like one of the laborers. When they say, oh, that is this man, you say, oh, you're sure? So yeah, that's it. It is rather people who don't have nothing are those who show off. Not so? In the same way, when a man of God is anointed, you can easily not notice or identify it. Let's read another scripture. Genesis chapter 30. Are you learning something since you came to the church? Yeah. Genesis chapter 30. Verse 27. Now, there's a man called Laban. He was Jacob's uncle. And when Jacob took the birthright of his senior brother Esau, Esau swore to kill him if he finds him. So Israel or Jacob started running for his life. It was on his way to his uncle's place that he slept somewhere in Beersheba. He slept on a stone and he had a dream with a ladder, angels going up and coming down. And he called the place Bethel. Jacob went into exile to live with his uncle Laban and went to take care of his sheep. He was like a houseboy, like a servant with his uncle, because it's a very secure place to be. His brother is trying to look for him to kill him. So having an opportunity here, it's a great blessing, hiding from his brother. After a few years, Jacob decided to return to his country. Then Laban now says, I will not let you go. I've come to Trinidad. I've come to Barbados. I've lived here for 10 years. I've worked. I've gotten some little money. I'm going back to Guyana. Why wouldn't you let me go? So the uncle who actually took in his nephew actually gave him a place to live, a room to live, and a place to stay, and give him a job. Look at what he said. When he said he was leaving, he said, please listen to me. Laban replied. He said, I have become wealthy, for the Lord has blessed me because of you. So in other words, he's saying that the blessings that I have, I did not learn it myself. But somebody who God is with came to be in my house. And because that person has been in my house for years, I have noticed I am not deaf. I am not dumb. I am not stupid. I am not an idiot. I have watched you closely and I have realized that even though you are my nephew who is going around taking care of sheep, some things that I have acquired in this short while, I don't have an idea how it came, but I know. That's because of your presence in my house. Very casual. You have a servant. And the servant's presence in your house, brother, is what is making God make you wealthy. And that's what we are learning, that there are people who are anointed. You have to be very careful with them. Jacob stepped into Abraham's covenant. That is why we say the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. It is Jacob. God is a personal God to Jacob. He told Abraham that I will bless anybody who blesses you, and I will curse anybody who curses you. That covenant passed on to Isaac, and it passed on to Jacob. So when you see Jacob walking around taking care of sheep, you don't know the supernatural backing behind this guy. Hey. Only three people are clapping. Hey. Following what I'm saying,
yes.
I am saying that Jacob, like a young boy, goes to his uncle's house to try and be safe from his brother. His uncle gets him a room, his uncle gets him some job, and all of that. But as he's in the house, unassuming like a nephew, the uncle realized that, you know what? Let's be serious. I have become rich not because I could do anything. I have noticed. He said, I have become wealthy. Give me the King James. King James. Genesis 30:27. He says, and Laban said to him, please stay. Hey. That is why when Elijah used, was Elijah or Elijah? He used to pass by the widow's place. Was he Elijah? Was Elijah? He used to pass by the widow's houses by the roadside. He would pass there on his way to other places. And the widow invited Elisha into her house. Because you realize that this guy who is walking with one shoe with his mouth open like an alligator. He walked like that. Fap, with a stick and beard. Hair has never been to the barber for that, how many 20 something years. His clothes, the same dress he sees him wear all the time. The widow woman saw Elisha and said, you know what? Please come and eat. Come home and eat something. Then another time he said, you know what? He told the husband, let's build a small room and put something inside, a table, a chair, and a bed for this man who passes by our house all the time. The woman had seen something. The man who has the power of God. Let me tell you, I said it and I'm saying it again. When Elisha was buried, when his dead body touched another dead body, that dead body came back to life. That is the level of power Elisha carried into the grave. And the woman saw him pass. He said, you know what? This man who's walking around quietly, like he can't talk, he can't do anything. There's something about him. There's something casual and subtle about this guy. But I know that this man is a great man. And lo and behold, this woman, this widow, was not giving birth. When he gave Elisha a place to stay, one day he called a woman and said, what do you want me to do for you? Hey, what do I want you to do for me? What kind of question is that? Do you know what I want? You know, women, as for women, it's their babies. They want children all the time. Ladies want children. That's why one of the things that the boys used to deceive us here in Guyana is that, make children for me. And then you say, Yeah, because you know that when you make a child for him, that is, he must love me to make me produce children for him. Only to realize that it's not as easy as we thought it was. He said, please stay, please stay. Don't go. I'm begging you to stay. Because you live, isn't it? Once in my lifetime, something dream came true. Please don't go. Don't go. Then you say, don't go. Please. You are begging a girl not to go. You are begging a boy not to go. Instead of begging the pastor not to go, you are begging a boy and a girl who is cuffing you all the time. The last time you had black eye, when they asked you, you said, you hit your head. Please stay. The uncle, the big man, is telling his little boy nephew, please stay. It doesn't work like that. I am the big man, uncle. You are giving some little sheep to take care of. You say you're going? Why? Galang, 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 galang. Galang your way. No, 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 no. The big man, contrary, said, please, don't go. Because when you leave, I believe you are taking something with you. That something for these few years has been doing me good. Ladies and gentlemen, this church that has come here, God has come here to do you good.
Amen.
Oh, only three people said amen.
Amen.
Celine, Selina, God has brought Shepherd House International here, Kimberly, to do you good.
Amen.
If only you see it, Vanessa. If only you see it. When Joanna says, come and sing, come and sing, come and sing. If only you see what God has brought to you here.
Whoa.
Laban saw it in his little nephew. And he said, I'm not going to behave like a big man. I know what it means to see somebody who is anointed. He said, please stay. If I have found favor in your eyes, for I have learned by experience. Not that somebody told me, but I have learned. Because the other day, one of my sheep died. And I thought that was the end of my business. But the next day, one sheep got pregnant and dropped four. And I said, sheep don't drop four. What is this Jacob giving to this sheep to eat? So, you see, so that is what he meant. He meant that I have learned. It means things have happened that he didn't understand, didn't know. But when this thing happened, that thing happened, he said, no, something must be. He said, I have learned as I experience things that I'm not used to, that the Lord has blessed me for your sake. It means it's because of you that I am who I am. It is because of you that I'm carrying this money I'm carrying. It is because of you that I'm blessed beyond measure. It's because of you. Because of you. If only you see it. Because it can be casual. It can be subtle. Oh, hi, how are you? So I'm all right. That's it. But you are actually dealing with somebody you have no idea about. Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you, these anointings and these things by God are carried by people that are very unassuming.
Yeah.
You see, when Joseph entered into Potiphar's house, he was like another slave that has been sold. He was a slave that was bought on the way. And he was sold. He was sold to Potiphar. So he was in Potiphar's house, and then he was working. Then Potiphar realized, this guy, well, he give him something, he takes care of it. That he made him head over all his house. It was only his wife who, even his wife began to like Joseph. Small boy and a big woman loves him. You call it sugar mommy. Sugar mommy. Sugar mommy. It's mommy who puts sugar in your mouth. When little boys get big women, we call it sugar mommy. The mommy is sugar. Yeah. Potiphar, the army commander's wife. Joseph was sweeping the living room. Was sweeping. And the woman came with some short skirt. Big woman. And David was speaking in tongues. Shaka bra ba ba ba. Shika ba 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 ba. Laba shake bre bre bre. Bolo shika bra ba ba ba. The lady went. Then she jammed Joseph. And Joseph said, oh, madam, I'm sorry. He said, oh, no, don't be sorry. Don't be sorry. Feel free. Feel free. And then Joseph said, madam, I'm really sorry. And madam said, Joseph. Joseph. Then just said, madam, please, madam, please. Madam said, please what? Please what? So please, madam, so help Joseph shirt like that. I said, madam, please, madam. Hello. Come. Then the woman took Joseph's clothes. Joseph ran. Then the woman said, what? Big woman like me, this boy disgrace me, so make me shame like that. Then she started hollering, oh, help, 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 help. The soldiers, army people came to war. He said, look, he was trying to rape me. then they took Joseph and put him in jail. Potiphar knew it. Even in jail, two guys had a dream. And they told Joseph, and Joseph explained the dream to them. And it came to pass. You see, the person is with you in jail. You think that you are all criminals. Just like Jesus on the cross. You see, Jesus and the two thieves, there were only two thieves, though, not three thieves. Just in case you just came to Jerusalem. You see, because if you just came to Jerusalem, you see three people hanging on the cross and all, you say, ah! Whoa, some three thieves, some three bad thieves. Okay, no. There were two thieves and one just man. One just man. As they were on the cross, you know what happened, isn't it? A casual anointed, the Son of God, was on the cross. I mean, people couldn't believe it. So one thief said, hey, buddy. I know you walking about talking like big things. Big things you talk. If you are who you say you are, jump from the cross. Release me and release me, brother, here. Let me run. If you have any power, why don't you just get off the cross? Then the other thief said, shut your mouth. I think he was Guyanese. He said, shut your mouth. Shut your mouth. Shut up, boy. He said, we have done wrong. This man didn't do anything. Then he said, please, remember me when you come in your glory. Then Jesus turned and looked at him like that. What? It's by. He got eyes. You know what happened? Jesus, the guy's destiny changed by recognizing a very casual, spiritual, powerful man who they were on the cross together as if they were all thieves. Jesus said, today, there's a place where thieves go when they die. He said, from today, you as a thief, you won't go there anymore. The good place that I am going, I'm taking you with me. I'm taking you with me. I'm taking you with me. Because this thief, all his life, thieving, went to school to study theology, became a thiefist with a degree in thieving, met Christ on the cross. He was condemned. That guy was condemned. Condemned. But he saw who was on the cross. Is he? And that's the thing. Sometimes we can all be walking around gaffing and talking and you may think, oh, I mean, this guy is just like one of us. But you may not know who you are dealing with. That is what we are studying. Great men, great anointed men can be very casual and very simple. Be careful how you deal with them. They hold the key to your breakthrough, to your prosperity, and even to whether you go to heaven or hell. God said that, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves to them as though them that watch over your souls. He said that so that they would do it with joy and not with what? With grief. For it is not beneficial to you, profitable to you, if they should give account of you in a sad way. If I give account of you to God in a sad way, Kevin Soso, it does not help you. No matter how good you think you have done, as long as your pastor, the person who watches over you, is not happy with you. No matter how many good things you have done, the Bible says that it is still not good for you. We come to church to learn new things. Stand to your feet. My time is up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't miss casual and subtle anointings. The anointed and his anointing. Hallelujah. Close your eyes with me. Close your eyes with me tonight. There are some of you here, if you die right now, you are not sure whether you go to heaven or hell. Like Jesus told the thief on the cross that tonight, today you'll be with me in paradise. There's a place called heaven and there's a place called hell. Bible says if you believe in him, you will not perish but have everlasting life. Tonight, God is calling you. There's a young man here. God is calling you tonight. God is calling you to give your life. God brought you here tonight to make you sit down, that he can take control of your life and lead you off the track that you've been living and walking on. God is calling a young man tonight. He wants to come into your heart. He wants to change your life. If you are here tonight, every eye closed, please just close your eyes. If you are here tonight, and you know deep down in your heart that if you were to die right now, will it be the left or the right? Will it be in the dark or in the light? Is it going to be heaven or is it going to be hell? If you are not sure, if you don't know, or if you know that you will go to hell, God is calling you tonight. He wants to change your destination. I stand here as an anointed vessel of God. And through these words and this invitation, your destiny is about to change forever. You are here tonight. You are not saved. You are not born again. You are not sure of salvation. You want to say, Bishop, please pray with me. I want to give my heart, my whole life to God tonight. If you are here like that, just lift up your right hand. I want to pray with you. I want to give you this opportunity. to set the record straight with your Heavenly Father. Bishop, please pray with me. God bless you. I am not saved. I am not born again. I am not sure whether I'll go to heaven or hell when I die. I want to change that tonight. I said, there's a young man here. If you don't give your heart to Christ, I can't guarantee your life anymore. Jesus is calling you tonight. Bishop, please pray with me. Your right hand up high. And I'll pray with you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. You know it. You know in your heart. You know it. You know nobody has to tell you. You know it. I'm just encouraging you. I'm just inviting you. God is calling you. You know it deep in your heart that things are not the way it looks. God is far from you. Come to Jesus tonight. If you lifted up your hand, I want to ask you to walk to me. Walk to the front. I want to pray with you. Come to the front. Come quickly. Come for them as they come. Come. Come to Jesus tonight. Come to Jesus tonight. Come to Jesus tonight. God is calling you, my brother. God is calling you, my sister. Come to Jesus tonight. Come to Jesus tonight. Don't be shy. Don't be shy. Don't be afraid. It's a life and death decision now. It's a life and death situation. God bless you, sir. Just face me right there. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you, sir. God bless you. Come to Jesus. There's a particular young man here. I don't know if it's you. God bless you. God bless you. Your life is depending on this altar call. God bless you. Come. God bless you. Come to Jesus tonight. Jesus is calling you tonight. Jesus is calling you tonight. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Come, my brother. Come here. Shake my hand this way. God bless you. Put your hands together for them. Put your hands together for them. God is calling you. You want to join them tonight? Don't be shy. Don't be afraid. Don't be scared. Come to Jesus tonight. Jesus is calling you. 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 Come to Jesus tonight. Come to Jesus tonight. Come to Jesus tonight.
Everything was done. So you.
Close your eyes with me, those here in front. Something is about to happen to you. God is about to move you from darkness into His marvelous light by what you are about to say. You know how they say it in America in the movies? They say you are under arrest. And is anything you say or do can be used against you in a court of law. What you're about to say now is what God is going to depend on and move you from darkness into light. So if you believe with your heart that Jesus is Lord, that it is not Muhammad, it is not Selassie, it is not Sai Baba, it is not Madam Lakshmi or any of those people, it's not any river or anything. But it is Jesus. If you believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, if you believe that He's the Son of God and He died for your sins, and after He died, God raised Him from the dead. If you believe all these things, and the Bible says all you have to do is speak it, confess it, and you will be saved. So I want you to pray this prayer with me. If you're here in front, I want the church to join in as we pray together. Pray this prayer with me and say, Heavenly Father, I am a sinner. Forgive me of all my sins. Wash me with the blood of Jesus. I humble myself. And I declare that I am lost. But tonight, I believe in you. I believe in you, Jesus, as the light of the world and the savior of my life. I open my heart and I invite you, Jesus, to come into my heart, to be my Lord and my Savior. I believe you died for me, and I believe you rose again from the dead. Thank you for coming into my heart. I believe you are with me now. I believe I am changed right now. I believe I am different from tonight. Because I believe that my name has been written in the book of life. I feel as a child of God already. And I know I am saved. Come what may. I've been saved from hell. From the darkness of the devil. I am born again. I am the child of God. I have the light of Christ in me now. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for saving my soul. In Jesus' name. Amen. Father, I pray for all these wonderful people. This gentleman, this young lady, I commit them to you. My Father, keep charge over these ones. Set a watch over their lives. Let them continue to walk from tonight on the path of righteousness because of your name. Let them never regret handing over the keys of their lives to you. May they experience you in a profound and a tremendous way. Give them supernatural experiences. Let the blessings and the presence of God be with them and be upon them. Let there be a presence from on high upon their lives. Help those who need help and help those who need help. I pray that even tonight, you'll give them dreams. The ones you have called into the ministry, Lord, show them a sign tonight. And let your will be done in their lives. I give you praise. And I give you glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Somebody said amen. Yeah. Oh, hallelujah.
We believe you have been blessed by the powerful teaching of God's word. For booking and more information on the ministry of Bishop Collins, please call us on 592-225-6760 or email us at shepherdhousegy@gmail.com. You can also log on to www.shepherdhouseinternational.org. God richly bless you.